Baroness, can you tell the scale of the problem and what exactly you're appealing for?
At the moment, there are about 10 million people in the Horn of Africa who are affected by this drought and also affected by the conflict, particularly in Somalia. 20 million if you widen it to include South Sudan. It's a very, very serious crisis indeed, and we need substantially more money to provide food, to make sure that people get water, and that we deal with the possible health implications of this, particularly the possibility of the outbreak of cholera or diarrheal diseases.
How much money do you need, and how much money have you raised? Have you managed to raise?
Well, since last year, because we were anticipating some of this, we've managed to raise substantial sums of money, particularly for Somalia, Ethiopia, and Kenya. It's been much more difficult to raise money for places like Djibouti. So I'm appealing to our donors to really dig deep in their pockets and to look at how much more they can give, because the scale of the problem is much greater than anticipated in our contingency planning from last year.
Well, but you were asking for 500 million and you've only got half, is that it?
If you look at what we asked for Kenya and Somalia, for example, together, it comes to about 500 million. Only about half of that has been received.
And how quickly do you need the money?
We need the money very quickly because a lot of people, children in particular, but also some adults, are now turning up at a very large refugee camp in Kenya, and they are severely malnourished. The pastoralists who depend on their livestock, the livestock is dying. So people have nothing at all to eat. This, of course, completely saps their resources and saps their energy. So food is critical, water is critical, and of course, in the longer term, we need to work together on strategies which cover a whole range of things: economic development, sustainability for people's livelihoods, trying to make sure we harvest water in times of plenty so communities have something to turn to, helping to build capacity and capability of governments in the region. All of this has to be part of the longer-term strategy.
Some of the measures that can be taken are quite low tech. You talk about rain harvesting, water harvesting. There's other things that can be done, like growing alternative crops to maize, which need a lot of water. It seems that these things can be done without too much money, and yet we can't seem to be making progress fast enough.
I agree with that, and it's partly because so many different people are involved in this process, but it's also because there are so many different reasons that we end up in this crisis situation. So it's not just about drought, it's about conflict, it's about extremely high food prices at this point in time, it's about the impact of climate change, it's about the fact that some of these countries in the region, the governance is very weak. It's about the fact that we need the regional institutions to work much more effectively together. And we need to recognize that these are people who are 80% rural. And we're talking about a vast geographical area as well. So all of this adds up to make an extremely complex picture. And we need, in a way, to be operating on all of those different levels at once.
Now, there were pledges made at L'Aquila on food security, and there's been some criticism that the pledges have to go a long way to being fulfilled.
We need to have greater urgency and dynamism in this process. We need to recognize that whilst the responsibility rests in a number of different places, that through the UN Secretary General's high-level panel on food security, through the L'Aquila commitments, through commitments that have been made jointly.